The hockey world is paying tribute to a legend today, Al Arbour, passing away at the age of 82. The resume is something to behold, not only as a player, which I was reminded of today, but as a coach, 1,500 games with the same team. He was the architect of 16 consecutive playoff victories, just playoff series victories. Think about that for a second. Very pleased to have join us a man who played for him and knows him very well, Brent Sutter from the Red Deer Rebels. Coach, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
I know you probably done a lot of this today, just reflecting on your former coach, but what do you think about, who do you think about when the name Al Arbour comes up, Brent?
Well, I think about a man that's that just wasn't a great coach, but he was a great human being, a great person, and anybody that played for him, he left his mark with him, and it was always in a positive way. And, you know, so many players played for Al, and the way he respected everybody and the way he treated everybody, I've said this many times, it didn't matter whether you were a player that played 3 minutes in a game or 30 minutes in the game, he treated you with the utmost respect all the time.
Do you remember your first meeting with Al?
I remember my first meeting with Al. I just going to my first camp when I was just turned 18 years of age, and Al was there. Pretty intimidating man. His shoulders are about 3 feet wide, and you know, he wore his glasses, and yet he made you feel very comfortable right from the start. It's kind of like he was like at the time even a fatherly figure, and then as I played for him, he truly was that. And you know, and he just knew, he got to know you so well, and he just knew how to use the right buttons at the right time. And you know, it's funny, speaking of Calgary, first game I played for the Islanders, I got called up from Lethbridge back in junior, and we were playing in the old corral, and there were with quite a few guys who were out with injuries, and so they called me up as an emergency call up, and we got beat 11-4 that night.
And,
Wayne Merrick and John Tinelli and Bobby Nye were -7 in the game, and in the corral, the dressing rooms are kind of long and narrow, you know, and you got to walk down 2 steps when you come into the door, and those guys are sitting back in the back corner, and he just came back and walked in the dressing room. Everyone's quiet, like not a word being said, and he walks in the dressing room, and he just walks back in front of those three guys, and he just started laughing. And it brought humor in the dressing room pretty quickly, and lo and behold, next time we went into Edmonton, and we beat Edmonton 5-2, and part of Vancouver, I'm sorry, beat Vancouver 5-2, and went into LA and beat them 2-1, and I was sent back home after those three games. But that was the one thing that stuck out, is that, you know, that it was, could have been very easy for him to come in and blast us and rip us, and yet he just had such a feel for the room, and he just, you know, kept it light, and you know, he made it that way, and he was he had such a great pulse for his players. And he knew that those three guys are big-hearted and go to the wall for the team. And they just had one of those tough nights, and he didn't embarrass them because of it.
Brent, he get, you know, a lot of people, as you say, praising him, you know, for the way he treats people. The practicality of him as a coach, what was he like? Was he a teacher? You know, was he a yeller and a screamer? I don't know what the terms would be, but what kind of coach in terms of the practicality of that position was he?
Well, you know, Al was a very intense guy, but his calm demeanor was always shown on the bench. But as nervous as he seemed, because he used to pace, and he used to always push his glasses up and stuff. Mm-hmm. But and in general public, he was very calm. He was always under control. And he was in the dressing room too, but he also, he knew when to, you know, light a fire under everybody's butt. And he just had a good way about doing it. And he didn't come in. He wasn't, he never came in. He never verbally abused the player, that he just knew how to do things. And that's why he was so respected. And when I got to the Islanders, a lot of those guys had already played for him for 4 or 5 years, 6 years.
Right.
And they had so much respect for him. And it's because of the way they treated him, you know. And, you know, if they knew that this is the way it was going to be, this is the way Al wanted you to play, and everybody's expected to play that way. And they did it because the respect they had for Al won, but the respect they knew, the respect he had for the team and the way he wanted us to play. And he knew that if we played a certain way that we'd have success doing that. And everybody really pushed it that way. And, you know, so he was awesome in understanding those things. And, you know, to me, I played for a lot of coaches, and, but there was no Al Harbor with anyone else. Like, he just had a special way of doing things. And again, it was unique. And it's a tough day. It's a sad day. Yeah. And yet I've known Al's been, you know, with his health issues the last few years have been hard on, especially the last couple of years. And I talked to him, I don't know, probably about 2 years ago. I called him and to see how he was doing. And you know, it was a tough conversation because he was there with you, but he wasn't.
Right.
And it was hard. And Clara, his wife, got on the phone and talked to her briefly after. And yet the alumni, the Islanders have a very strong alumni there. And they've been keeping everybody updated on Al's progress over the last couple of years. So I wouldn't say this is a real totally shock to everybody that this is happening, but it's just very sad because there's just so many memories come back.
Brent Sutter, our guest this afternoon, is remembering Al Harbor. It's hard not to have a conversation about Al Harbor and not talk about that dynasty, which was the New York Islanders, you know, to win 4 consecutive championships. I mentioned before, 16 consecutive playoff series. I've learned from you that everybody has a role on a team, everybody, the general manager, Bill Torrey, everybody. In terms of that success, what was the role that Al had? I mean, obviously he's the coach, but he must have played a bigger role to have that much success in such a great era. The Canadiens, the Oilers, wasn't easy to win like that.
Well, and remember too that he, you know, back then there was no assistant coaches.
Right.
He was the head coach. There's no one else on the bench with him. And Lorne Henning, my second year, went on the bench a little bit as an assistant coach, and he helped Al out. You know, back in the day, there wasn't any video at all. But he just had it. You know, it's hard to describe because he just had his way with them. And that team was built, and it was built the way Al wanted the game to be played. And we could play it any way anybody wanted to play. If you wanted to play a skill game, we'd play skill. If we wanted to play a game that was rock and roll and duke it out, we could do that all night long and into tomorrow. And it was just the way we were made up. And everybody could skate. We could move the puck. We had skill and we had toughness. And everybody, but everyone understood their roles, and everybody respected each other's roles, to a high regard. But Al was the one that made it all be that way. Like, we had some super, superstar players, Dennis Potvin, Brian Trotsky, Mike Bossy. And, I mean, not one of these guys, not just great players, but they were great guys too. And they knew when Al, you know, when Al came in and there was a certain message being sent, they were no different than anybody else, that they had to buy into it, and they did. And that's what made that team so great, because it was so well-rounded with a little bit of everything, but everything was for all the same shared goal. And Al was the one that was the glue to all that.
My last one for you, Brent, is, you know, as a coach, how much of Al have you emulated? How much of Al do you like to think is in your style of coaching? How much did he impact you as a coach?
A lot. You know, I like I said, Al was there's not another coach like Al that I played for. And I believe in a coach should show players respect. I believe a coach should communicate with his players, but be firm in his beliefs. And it doesn't matter whether it's your superstar or your 13th forward or your seventh defenseman or whatever, that everyone has to have the right frame of mind for the team to succeed, and everyone has to buy into that. And my career really was what Al Arbor made my career. We won the Stanley Cup after in Vancouver, and my first Stanley Cup, and I was there for Stanley Cup 2, but I didn't play any games. But in the third one, I didn't play much in playoffs, and but then he played me a ton in game 3 and 4, and he took me out of the dressing room, and after the trainer come in and said, "Brent, Al wants to see Radar. I want to see you outside the locker room." So I go outside, and I'm like, "Oh boy, what's he gonna?" You don't know what to expect. And he puts his arm around me, and we kind of go for a walk about 6 steps away, and he turns and stops me, and he says, "What did you learn through this?" And I'm like, "Well," and he's a pretty intimidating guy, right? And mm-hmm. I'm like, you don't know what to say. And he says, "Well, let me tell you what you learned." He said, "I just made you the mentally strongest player in the National Hockey League, and you're going to play this game as long as you want to play it." And every time there was adversity in my career as a player, I relayed back something that Al did or how he handled a player, and just the way he was, or how he made you mentally strong. And the same goes in coaching, or what I do now. There's not too many times I don't think back about Al and the way he handled you. And you know what? And you listen to people today about how they speak about Al Arbor as a coach, but it was about what he was as a human being. And like Bobby Nystrom said, there's not too many days he doesn't think about Al Arbor and what he's done for him and for his life and the way he handles things. And it's so true. And it's no different with myself. It's he's a remarkable man. He's going to be missed. And you said it earlier, a legend. And there's no question he was in so many ways.
Brent, I really appreciate this. My condolences on the loss, but I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing the story, because I think a lot of people needed to hear it and wanted to hear it. So thank you for doing this today.
No, you're more than welcome.